سخنران امشب تهران AA که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر جهانی خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی های گمنام در ایران است، آقای دونزو هستند با هوشیاری 41 سال از کشور آمریکا و مترجم امشب خانم سلمات عزیز هستند. خوشامد میگم این دو عزیز و جلسه در اختیار شما.
مرسی نسترن عزیز. Donzo, now the floor is yours.
Okay, well, good evening, Tehran. My name is Donzo. I'm definitely an alcoholic. It's a lovely morning here in Los Angeles, and I'm happy to be talking to you today about the seventh step. So, just a little bit about me. I got sober.
من دونزو هستم و خیلی 100 درصد یک الکلی هستم و خوشحالم که از لس آنجلس امروز در خدمت شما هستم در ایران و امروز روز بسیار زیبایی اینجا و قراره که راجع به قدم 7 صحبت بکنم.
I got sober October 28th, 1979.
من در 28 اکتبر 1979 پاک شدم.
So I'm now 41 years sober and feel very lucky and fortunate to be still alive and sober all this time.
و من 41 سال الان پاکم و خیلی خوشحال و خوشبختم که این همه وقت پاک موندم و هوشیارم.
Now I didn't come to AA because I was ready, and I didn't come to AA because I was clear about my alcoholism, and I didn't come to AA because I was all surrendered. I came to AA because I lived with a woman whom I loved very much, and she said, either you call AA or you need to move out.
من به خاطر اینکه آماده بودم نیومدم تو الکلی‌های گمنام یا اینی که فکر می‌کردم اینجا رو لازم دارم. من به خاطر اینی که یک خانمی رو بی نهایت دوست داشتم و اون به من گفتش که یا باید بری الان به AA زنگ بزنی یا باید از اینجا بری بیرون، من اومدم تو AA.
So I called Alcoholics Anonymous and I got Alcoholics Anonymous on the phone and I said I am calling because my girlfriend told me I need to call and the man laughed.
من زنگ زدم به AA و گفتم که من زنگ میزنم برای اینکه دوست دختر من به من گفته من باید زنگ بزنم و اون طرف پشت خط تلفن خندید.
So he said give me your number and I'll have someone call you. So I gave him my number and someone did call. It took a few minutes and this fellow called me.
و از من خواستن که من شماره رو بذارم که یه نفر بهم زنگ بزنه و چند دقیقه بعد یه نفر به من زنگ زد.
He said, is this Don? And I said, yes. And he says, hi, Don, I'm Jim. I'm an alcoholic. And I said, oh, wow, man, I can't help you. I've got my own problem.
و ایشون گفتش که آیا شما دان هستید؟ من گفتم بله. و گفتش که من جیمم، من یک الکلیم و منم بهش گفتم ببخشید من نمیتونم به تو کمک کنم چون من مشکلات خودم رو دارم.
So he said, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? And so I told him a lot of things about myself, but they weren't things he was interested in. I told him that I was a college student, that I hadn't been to class yet, but that I was going to go real soon. And it was the end of October, and school had started in September. And he was not interested in any of that. He said, no, wait a minute. Let me talk about myself for a minute.
و من گفت خب یکم راجع به خودت صحبت کن. منم شروع کردم به گفتن اینی که من یک دانشجوی دانشگاه هستم، البته هنوز نرفتم ولی قراره به زودی برم. اون موقع اکتبر بود و من بعد سپتامبر میرفتم، یعنی یه ماه بعدش به دانشگاه، و اون خیلی براش این مسائل مهم نبود و گفت خیلی خب بذار من یکم از خودم بگم.
So he told me about his drinking. He told me about how he drank and how he took sedatives. He used Valium and drank. And it had gotten him into a lot of trouble, more and more trouble, to the point where he eventually lost his teaching credential. He was a teacher, which is what I do today. And he had lost his teaching credential because he dropped his pants at a PTA meeting, at a faculty and parents meeting, in order to make a point, because he was drunk.
و ایشون به من گفتش که چجوری مشروب میخورده و چقدر براش دردسرساز شده مشروب و در نهایت اون مجوز تدریس خودش رو، چون اون کسی که به ایشون زنگ زده بود یه دونه معلم بود، ایشون خودش هم آقای دان هم یک معلمه، گفت من اون مجوز رو از دست دادم به خاطر اینکه توی یک جلسه پدر و مادرها به خاطر اینکه مست بودم شلوارم رو کشیدم پایین که مثلا یه چیزی رو به اونا بفهمونم.
He described himself and his drinking and his feelings about drinking in such a way that I thought that he and my girlfriend had talked beforehand. I thought somehow they had gotten together and had a conversation about me, and she told him all about me so that he could pretend to have all. It sounded too much like me to just be coincidence. I was listening to him and I thought, how does he know all this about me? And he was just talking about himself.
و اینقدر اون مطالبی که به من گفت با من شباهت داشت که من به این فکر میکردم که حتما دوست دختر من قبلش با ایشون هماهنگ شده و اون صحبت‌ها رو گفته که این دقیقاً چیزایی رو بگه که من هستم.
To cap it off, he talked about how he lost his marriage and he lost his house, not in that order. He lost his house and then he lost his marriage. And all of that was a big culmination of his alcoholism and understanding that he had a problem. It took him all of that loss to understand he had a problem.
و ایشون به من توضیح داد که چجوری خونه‌شو از دست داده و چجوری ازدواجشو از دست داده و همه اونها رو داده تا بفهمه که یک الکلیه.
So while I'm listening to him, I'm having a conversation in my head. I'm having a conversation where part of me is, you're an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic, just like him. And another part of me is, just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. This is going to be a real mess if you go and tell him anything. And then my head saying, you're an alcoholic, just like him. You're just like him. And the dam breaker was I started crying. I just started crying. I couldn't control it. I just started crying while I was talking to him, and I said, I think I'm an alcoholic.
و من تو سرم یک صدایی میگفتش که من فکر کنم توی الکلی و یه صدای دیگه از اون بر میگفت هیچی فقط نگو به خاطر اینکه اگه بدی شدیداً میفتی توی درد سر. و من در اینقدر تو این در حینی که ایشون صحبت میکرد این افکار تو سر من بود که من آخر دیگه زدم گریه زیر گریه و گفتم من فکر میکنم من یک الکلی هستم.
So he says to me, he says, listen, okay, then I need to send a car for you. I need to send a car to take you to a meeting. And that meeting, you'll get the help you need. And I just remember feeling that that was way too much. That I said to him, no, I'm good. You know, I've had a cry. I've realized I'm an alcoholic, and I think I'm good now. And he said, I'm going to send a car. And I kept saying, I don't want a car. I'm not going to go to any meetings. I've had the breakthrough that I need, and I really appreciate you. And so he said, is your girlfriend there right now? Is she there? I said, yeah. He goes, can you put her on for a minute? And he put her on, and she gave our address, and she told, you know, that she would be ready with me and everything. And so she gave the whole thing away.
و من همون موقع به من گفتش که من الان یه ماشین میفرستم که تو رو بیاره به یه جلسه ای و من گفتم که نه من به هیچ جلسه ای نمیرم، من اون چی که باید میفهمیدم فهمیدم. و در نهایت به من گفت خب اگه دوست دخترت اونجاست گوشی رو بده بهش و دوست دخترش آدرس رو بهش داد.
So this car comes to take me to AA, and I said to Felicia, you know, I'm not going to get in that car unless you get in that car. And she said, hey, I'm not the alcoholic. She said, you know, I'm here to send you off. And I said, if you don't get in this car, I'm not going to go to this meeting. And finally, I talked her into getting in the front of the car, and I got in the back, and off we went to my first AA meeting, me and Felicia.
و در نهایت ماشین اومد و منم گفتم اگه فلیشیا دوست دخترم وارد نیای با من نمیرم. و در نهایت ما دوتایی رفتیم به اون جلسه.
We get to this meeting in Portland, Oregon, and people talking about lots of things. They're sharing very honestly about themselves. I'm feeling very embarrassed for them because they're revealing all these things about themselves and their lives. And I just remember just looking around thinking, How can they be telling all this stuff to other people? How could they be sharing all this in front of other people? I remember I turned red. I was so embarrassed for them.
من همجوری که تو جلسه نشسته بودم و چیزایی که دوستان میگفتن و میشنیدم همجوری احساس خجالت برای اونا میکردم که چجوری اینا دارن این مطالب و به این خصوصی رو تو جلسه میگن، نباید اینا رو میگفتن.
So this man finally gets on listening to all these speakers, and as I'm hearing these speakers, I'm listening at the speakers. I'm not listening to them. I'm not really receiving the information. I'm just finding evidence that I don't need to listen. I'm looking at them for all the differences. I'm not looking for any of the similarities. I'm looking for all the differences between them and me. And I'm listening at them very successfully. I'm not like this one. I'm not like that one. I'm not like this one. I'm not like that one. Until this one man gets up to the podium. And his name is Don.
و من به اینا که به افراد که گوش میدادم من باهاشون گوش نمیدادم. من رو در رو بهشون گوش میدادم، یعنی اینی که همش دنبال این بودم که دنبال تفاوت‌ها بودم که خب مثل این که نیستم، مثل اون که نیستم، با اینم که شباهت ندارم، با اونم که شباهت ندارم، که هر کدومو یه جوری بخوام زیر سوال ببرم. تا اینی که یک مردی صحبت کرد که اسمش دان بود.
So this guy is talking about his alcoholism and he says I was a blackout drinker. And I said, a blackout drinker? I turned to the guy next to me in the meeting and I said, what's a blackout drinker? And I turned to Felicia. I said, what's a blackout drinker? She said, I don't know. And I turned to this guy. I said, what is a blackout drinker? He says, oh, that's where there's a period of time you don't remember. There's a period of time you don't remember and then you come to. And I went, oh, a drinker. Felicia said, yeah, she's talking about a drinker. You're just a drinker. So this guy goes on and tells his story. As a blackout drinker, he had these different things happen to him. And he loved his car. He loved to go drinking and driving. Now, I loved to go drinking and driving. So I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, oh, this is just like me.
Yeah. و ایشون این آقای دان شروع کرد صحبتشو با اینی که من یک مشروب خوری هستم که سیاه مست میکنم و من برگشتم بغل دستیم گفتم که یعنی چی کسی که سیاه مست میکنه و به فلیشیام گفتم یعنی چی و فلیشیا گفت من نمیدونم و اون دوستی که بغل دستم بود گفت یعنی یه زمانهایی در مشروب خوری یادش نمیاد چی کار کرده و من گفتم خب یعنی مست میکنه دیگه و اون آقا گفتش که من عاشق این هستم که مشروب بخورم و رانندگی بکنم. خب منم اینجوری بودم. I was also like that.
many times he had come out of blackouts and wondered what had happened to him. Where had he been? He'd be parked in his driveway and wondered, where did I go? What did I do? But there was this one time where he went through an intersection in a blackout and he killed a family. And where he came to in court.
و بارها ایشون موقع رانندگی میرفته توی یه جایی پارک خاموش میکرده یا توی بیدار میشده و نمیدونسته کجا هست و از خودش میپرسیده چجوری من اینجا پارک کردم و در نهایت اون آقای دان یه بار میره وارد یک در هنگام رانندگی توی تقاطع میزنه و یک خانواده رو میکشه و بعدش توی دادگاه در اسب هوش میاد.
And he said this was his first meeting after 10 years in prison. His first meeting that he'd ever been to outside of prison. And that he was now going to try to spend the rest of his life making right what he'd done wrong. And he said he knew he could never make that right, but he would do everything he could to be of service to everybody that he met.
و این اولین جلسه ای بود که بعد از 10 سالی که تو زندان گذرونده بود رفته و گفت من تمام زندگیم رو از این به بعد باید تلاش بکنم که این خسارتی که زدم رو جبران کنم با هر کسی که سر راه من قرار میگیره. میدونم که هیچ وقت نمیتونم این خسارت رو جبران کنم ولی تمام سعیم رو باید بکنم.
So it was with great seriousness and great somberness that we all got back in the car to take me back to my house.
و اون زمان بود که من هممون با یه جور جدیت و احساس غمگینی اومدیم به ماشین که برگردیم و من برگردم به خونه.
So the man who was driving the car, he stopped and he passed out big books, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, to everyone in the car. And I think there were six of us total. And he passed out a book to every single one of us. And he said, this is our basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous. When you get home, read this through quickly and then study it like a textbook.
و اون کسی که ما رو میرسوند فکر کنم ما 6 نفر بودیم در اون ماشین، به ما هر کدوم یک کتاب الکلی گمنام رو داد و گفت این کتاب طریقه عمل کرده ماست و اینو یه بار از اول تا آخر سریع بخونید و بعدش هم کار بکنید.
He also gave us this thing called the 20 questions and he gave out 20 questions to everybody and he said this just helps to help you understand your alcoholism, so take this little question and answer these 20 questions for yourself just to help you make up your own mind about whether you're not an alcoholic or whether you are. And he says, and then we'll see you tomorrow. And so we were getting out of the car and he said, so I'll see you this time tomorrow. And both Felicia and I said, no, thank you. We don't need it. He goes, see you tomorrow.
و به ما یه دونه جزوه‌ای هم داد که 20 تا سوال توش داشت که گفت اینم بهتون کمک میکنه که بفهمید آیا واقعا یه الکلی هستید یا نه و گفت فردا میبینمتون و من و فلیشیا هر دو گفتیم نه مرسی ولی گفت به هر حال گفت من فردا شما رو دوباره همین ساعت میبینم.
So we're going in the house and Felicia's going to the kitchen and I said where are you going and she said I'm going to get a beer and I said have you taken the 20 questions yet and she said no and I said well, I took the 20 questions. I did really well. I said, don't you want to take the 20 questions? She said, I have no interest in taking the 20 questions. I'm not the alcoholic. You're the alcoholic. I'm going to have a beer. And I said, well, if you're not the alcoholic, then you don't need the beer. And she said, you're going to keep on doing this to me, aren't you? You're going to keep on arguing with me. And I said, yeah. And she said, so I'll do the 20 questions and you'll leave me alone? And I said, yeah. So she sat down and took forever doing the 20 questions. Forever.
و وقتی رسیدیم خونه فلیشیا رفت که برای خودش یه دونه آبجو از توی یخچال بیاره و من بهش گفتم تو مگه این 20 سوال جواب دادی؟ گفت نه مگه من الکلیم تو هستی و گفتش که ولی من جواب دادم تو هم بهتره بیای جواب بدی و در نهایت خانم فلیشیا میاد و اینو میخواد جواب بده به این سوال ها که خیلی زمان طولانی میبره.
So I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting for her to finish taking the 20 questions and it's taking so long. Finally, she puts down her pencil and she looks up at me. And I said, are you done? And she goes, yeah, I got 16. I said, 16, have you seen the scoring yet? And she said, no. I said, well, if you turn it over, then you see the scoring. You want me to tell you how? She said, no. And she turned it over and she looked at it and she's looking at this bad news because it says if you got one right, you might be an alcoholic. Two, you probably are an alcoholic. And three, you're screwed.
و در نهایت که وقتی اون تمام جواب رو داد گفت من 16 میگیرم، یعنی 16 شدم و گفتم خب دیدی جواب معنیش چیه، پشت سفر نگاه بکن، اگه یکی رو جواب بدی احتمالاً الکلی هستی، دومی رو دو تا جواب بدی به احتمال زیاد الکلی هستی و سومی که 100% هستی، یعنی اوضاع خرابه. و خب اینا 16 تا فقط خانم فلیشیا جواب داده بود.
So I said to her, I said, so how many did you get wrong? And she said, I got 16 of them. She said, I got 16 of them. And I said, hey Felicia, I'm Don, I'm an alcoholic. I was just imitating the meeting we just been to. Hey Felicia, I'm Don, I'm an alcoholic. Like that. And she looked up at me and she said, I'm Felicia and I'm an alcoholic. And I said, oh, good, because I didn't want to go to meetings by myself.
و در نهایت وقتی که هر آقای دان ادای مثل توی جلسه رو در آورد و گفتش که من دان و یک الکلی هستم و فلیشیا هم گفت منم فلیشیا و یک الکلی هستم. و دان گفت خب خوشحالم برای اینکه من دلم نمیخواست تنها برم جلسه.
So I would never have gone to AA if it hadn't been Felicia. If Felicia hadn't asked me to go or she kicked me out of the house, I would never have gone to AA. But I went to AA. Now, I wasn't intending to stay. I was intending to go and make my impression and then slowly drift my way back to my old behavior. That was my intention. But Felicia now had taken this 20 questions, and she saw her alcoholic family, and she saw her alcoholism as this serious, serious thing. And she jumped in and joined AA with complete abandon. She came in 100%, all in, full-on member. This is our first week of sobriety. She got a sponsor in that week. She read the book in that week, and she was quoting it to me in that week.
و اینجوری بود که من وارد AA شدم. من دل تصمیم نداشتم واقعا به خاطر فقط فلیشیا رفتم به AA و بعدم تصمیم نداشتم بمونم، تصمیم داشتم یه دوره فقط اونجا باشم و بعد بیام بیرون، ولی فلیشیا با تمام وجود رفت تو AA. در همون هفته اول راهنما گرفت، کتاب رو خوند و حتی یه قسمتی از کتاب رو هم هی به من میگفت.
So she had the sponsor. I didn't know what that meant. But I knew that it meant that I couldn't successfully start a fight with her. We'd go to a meeting, and we'd come home, and I'd try to pick a fight, you know, to sort of let go of some of the tension. And she would say, you know, I'm going to call my sponsor. And I'd say, you're going to what? She said, I'm going to call my sponsor. I said, your sponsor? And she goes, I'm going to call. And so she's getting on the phone with this woman, and then she breaks out her book, and they're reading to each other over the phone. And I thought, I'm 22 years old. My life is over, man.
و دیگه وقتی ما از جلسه می اومدیم و من می‌خواستم یه دعوایی راه بندازم که اون استرسم و هیجانم رو خالی بکنم، دیگه فلیشیا وارد اون دعوا نمی‌شد. می‌گفت من می‌خوام به راهنمام زنگ بزنم. من می‌گفتم راهنما چیه؟ و اون گوشی رو برمی‌داشت، با یه خانمی شروع می‌کرد صحبت کردن، بعد کتابو باز می‌کرد و شروع می‌کردن با هم دیگه خوندن. و من گفتم من 22 سالمه و دیگه زندگیم رو از دست دادم.
I go to this meeting with this, there's this guy at all the meetings I've been to so far. Every meeting he was there and he'd give me the thumbs up. He'd go like that. So I went up to that guy and I said, he was a big guy. I said, would you be my sponsor? He said, I'd be proud to be your sponsor.
و من توی جلسه یه جلساتی که می‌رفتم یه آقایی بود که همیشه تو جلسات بود و هر وقت من حرف می‌زدم یک انگشتی به نشانه لایک نشون می‌داد و من رفتم به این آقا گفتم که تو می‌تونی راهنمای من باشی و اون آقام که خیلی بزرگ و درشت هیکل بود گفت من باعث افتخارم که راهنمای تو بشم.
So Felicia and I get home from that meeting and I pick a fight with Felicia, and she says, you know what, I'm going to call my sponsor. And I said, hey, I'm going to call my sponsor.
و ما دوباره از این جلسه برگشتیم و من شروع کردم یه دعوای راه انداختن و فلیشا گفت من میرم به راهنمام زنگ بزنم. منم گفتم منم میرم به راهنمام زنگ بزنم و یه پوزخندی زدم.
So I get my sponsor on the phone and I say, hey, listen, you wouldn't believe this. You know, I'm saying this to Felicia, and she says this, and I say this, and she says this. And this guy on the other end of the phone, he says, hey, shut up.
و من گوشی رو برداشتم به این آقا گفتم که من و فلیشیا اینو به هم گفتیم، اون اینو گفتیم و اون آقا که راهنما بود بهم گفت یه دقیقه ساکت شو.
He says, do you realize you have a disease that will kill you? Do you realize you have alcoholism, dude?
و به من گفتش که تو واقعا میفهمی که تو یه بیماری داری که تو رو میکشه، متوجه هستی که بیماری الکلیزم داری؟
He said, let's open your book. Go get your Alcoholics Anonymous book and let's open it up and read together. So I'm 22 years old and I'm on the phone with a guy that was kicked off the police force for being too rough. And I'm reading a book to him over the phone. About acceptance is the key to all my problems. That's what I'm reading. And I'm just thinking, man, my life is over. It's a slow march to the mausoleum now. I'm done.
به من گفتش که کتابتو باز کن، با هم دیگه بخونیم و من اون موقع 22 سالم بود و شروع کردم کتاب، از روی کتاب اون قسمتی که راجبه پذیرشه توی داستان‌های کتاب رو خوندن با یک کسی که به خاطر اینکه خیلی خشن بوده از پلیس اخراج شده و من پیش خودم گفتم من 22 سالمه و دیگه زندگیم تموم شد، من دیگه تباه شدم، دیگه کم کم به سمت صومعه دارم میرم.
So I'm feeling disappointed. I'm feeling disappointed because I can't argue with him. He has me read the book every time I argue with him. And I can't argue with Felicia because she calls her sponsor every time I argue with her. And I'm trying to figure out how do I successfully go drink with all this AA stuff going on all around me. And Felicia is now completely dug in. She is on board and she is so enthusiastic. Now she wants to go to the meetings and I'm being drug along.
And you're being?
Dragged along.
و اینی که من میگفتم خب حالا دیگه با فلیشیا که نمیتونم جر رو بس کنم چون همش میخواد برانم باش زنگ بزنه، با اینم که نمیتونم جر رو بس کنم چون اونم میگه بیا کتاب بخونیم. و فلیشیا اون زمان بیش از حد دیگه به ای ای چسبیده بود و عاشقانه میرفت ای ای و اون من بودم که در از کشون کشون پشت سر اون میرفتم.
Something happens to me here. I get into a lot of pain. My body's starting to have a lot of pain, and I'm starting to see things that aren't there, and things are starting to melt a little bit, and people are shrinking, and smoke comes out of the cat, and I'm not right.
و من شروع کردم یه اتفاق رو موقع افتاد، من شروع کردم به دردهای مختلف جسمی داشتن و اینی که آدم ها رو جور دیگه ای می دیدم. مثلا می دیدم دود داره از گربه میزنه بیرون یا اینکه آدما دارن آب میرن و یه همچین چیزایی و من احساس میکردم یه اتفاقی داره برام میفته.
My sponsor says you need an honest prayer and I said I don't need a prayer. I said I need a real solution. I got real problems now. I'm really in trouble here. And he said this is a spiritual answer to your problems. I said I'm serious. I need real help. Don't you understand? I need real help. And he said let's try this. He says, when you wake up tomorrow morning, say, thank you, God, for my sobriety. Can you say, thank you, God, for my sobriety? I said, I can, but it doesn't mean anything to me.
و من اون موقع به راهنما گفتم من واقعا احتیاج به یک کمک واقعی دارم. و راهنما من گفت تو احتیاج به یک دعای واقعی داری. و من گفتم تو متوجه نیستی. من واقعا وضعم خرابه. و به من راهنما گفتش که تو فردا صبح میتونی بلند شی و بگی خدایا شکرت برای هوشیاری امروزم و گفتم میتونم بگم ولی معنی برام نداره.
He said try this one. He says thank you God for my sobriety and help me to mean it because I don't. And he said and try this and help me to believe in you because I don't.
و به من گفتش که اینو امتحان کن که بلند شی و بگی خدایا سپاسگزارم برای هوشیاریم و کمکم کن که واقعا از ته قلبم اینو بگم، برای اینکه واقعا الان علکی دارم میگم، و کمکم کن که به تو ایمان و باور بیارم به خاطر اینکه واقعا ندارم.
So I said that prayer when I woke up and I woke up in earnest. I woke up in the middle of the night. I woke up very 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 tough. It was hurting everywhere. I was seeing things. All of a sudden, I said, God, thank you for my sobriety and help me to mean it because I don't. And help me to believe in you because I don't.
و من نیمه‌های شب بلند شدم و همه جام درد میکرد و حال خیلی بدی داشتم و توهم زده بودم و اون موقع شروع کردم به گفتن این دعا که خدایا ممنونم به خاطر هوشیاریم و کمکم کن که واقعا از ته قلبم اینو بگم و کمکم کن به تو باور داشته باشم چون ندارم.
I wake up with this incredible hallucination. It was just this church cathedral on fire coming down on top of me. And that was the last thing I remember. I went into seizures and I came to in a hospital. And the doctor looking over me said, we need to keep you here for a while. You're in very bad shape. We need to keep you here for quite a while. And they locked me into a psych ward.
و من آخرین چیزی که یادم این بود که یه دونه کلیسا در حال سوختن بود و بعدش دیگه خودم رو تو بیمارستان دیدم به خاطر اینی که دکتر گفتش که وضعم خیلی خرابه و یه مدتی منو تو بیمارستان روانی بستری کردند.
Now I had not just drank a whole lot my whole life, but I'd also done some other terrible things to my brain. I had snorted glue and I'd snorted ant and roach killer. And I had a lot of things that I'd done out of desperation, and I'd hurt my brain very badly with hallucinogens and everything else. So as I'm coming off of all this stuff, I'm hallucinating very badly. And in fact, I hallucinated for the rest of that year.
من به غیر از مشروب خوردنم بعضی وقتا از روی بیچارگی کارهای دیگری هم کرده بودم که به شدت به مغزم آسیب زده بود و چیزهای مختلفی رو استشمام کرده بودم، مثل چسب و نمیدونم یه چیزهای دیگه که برای کشتن حشرات، و آسیب زیادی به مغزم خورده بود که وقتی داشتم از اون بدنم ترک میکرد، این توهم ها همه به من حمله کرده بود و من تا یک سال این توهم ها رو داشتم.
I got moved to the college infirmary, where the infirmary of my college, where I stayed the rest of that year. And the AA people had something called H&I, Hospitals and Institutions. And they came and they brought panels to me.
Sorry, you went to where afterwards?
The infirmary in my college. They had me move into one of the rooms in the infirmary and just live there for the rest of that year.
و اونا منو فرستادن به یک جایی در دانشگاه هم که در ادامه اون سال اونجا باشم، و یک سری گروه های می اومدن از AA به نام H&I که پنل بودن.
So these people would come in and they would pour their hearts out to me. They would tell their stories. They would pump that lonely, sad little room full of their joy and full of their relief and full of their tales of hope. And it would cheer me up for the time that they were there.
و اونا می اومدن و داستان‌هایی از امید خودشون و اتفاقای خوبی که براشون افتاده به من میگفتن و از واقعا قلبشون رو با من به اشتراک میذاشتن و حال من خوب میشد و تا زمانی که اونا اونجا بودن حال من خوب بود.
About 3 months in, I had they did a medical tests on me to find out what was wrong with my brain, to find out what's going on, why are you still having all this trouble. And they could not make a decision. They said, best we can tell you, you're going to be a mental patient the rest of your life. Keep your expectations low.
و بعد از 3 ماه اونا یه سری آزمایش رو من انجام دادن که ببینم من توی چه وضعیتی هستم، و به من گفتن که در نهایت تو همیشه یک بیمار روانی خواهی بود، بنابراین سطح توقع خودت رو از خودت یکم بیار پایین.
So in comes the panel right after that medical inspection, and I'm sitting there really contemplating suicide. And in comes the little panel, and this one guy from the panel says, hey, what's the matter with you, man? You look worse than usual. And I told him what the doctors had said, and they said, oh man, what do they know? They're doctors.
و بعد از اون همون اچندای اومدن اونجا که با من صحبت بکنن و دید که من خیلی ناراحتم و حتی داشتم به خودکشی فکر می‌کردم و به من گفت چی شده؟ چرا انقدر امروز ناراحت‌تر از غمگین‌تر از روزهای قبل هستی؟ و من گفتم که اینا به من اینو گفتن و گفت اونا چه می‌فهمن؟ اونا دکترن.
The two guys look at each other and they go, hey, we got hallucinating guys, don't we? He goes, oh, yeah, we got hallucinating guys. And so they started bringing in all these guys from around Oregon who'd had significant periods of time where they'd hallucinated and then gotten well again.
و گفتن ما خیلی آدمایی رو میشناسیم که اونا هم توهم میزدن و این تصاویر توهمی رو میبینن و میشنون و اونا رو شروع کردن به آوردن اونا اونجا.
So one of these guys that comes in, his name is Owen. And Owen says to me, I'm glad I found you. We need to take you to the quiet place. And I said, the quiet place? What are you, nuts? And he said, absolutely.
و یکی از این افرادی که اومد اسمش اوئن بود و اون اوئن به من گفتش که ما میخوایم تو رو ببریم به یک جای آروم و ساکت و من گفتم اگه شما دیوونه ای دونم گفتش که کاملا.
So he set up a little prayer area. He set up these little, he set up beads, and he set up a little temple. He made a little temple on the side of my bed, and he sat there and went on a guided meditation, took my hand, and he guided me on a guided meditation for hours and hours and hours. And he guided me on this journey. He said, we're going to put you in the palm of God's hand. And I said to him, look, you know, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe God has a hand, and I don't believe there's a palm in it, and I don't believe I'll fit there. And he said, I understand. And I said, so this won't work for me. And he goes, I understand. Let's keep going. And he kept on going for hours through this prayer.
و این شروع کرد این آقای اوئن با من یه دعایی خوندن مثل این که مثلا یه معبدی اونجا را انداخت یه سری شمع روشن کرد و اینا و دست منو گرفت و یک مراقبه رو شروع کرد با من انجام دادن و گفت ما میخوایم تو رو بذاریم در کف دست خداوند و آقای دونزا هم گفتش که من اعتقاد به این ندارم، من اعتقاد به خدا ندارم، من اعتقاد ندارم خدا کف دست داره، بعد اگه داشته باشم من کف دستش جا نمیشم و در نهایت با هم دیگه ساعت‌ها این مراقبه رو کردن. Don't forget we have to talk about step 7 as well.
Shall do. Yeah. I have how many more minutes do I have?
I will tell you. 16 minutes.
I better wrap up. I thought I had more time. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, it's okay. It was very fun. I enjoyed it.
So I come out of this experience, lo and behold, finding myself, experiencing myself in the palm of God's hand. That's the crux of that. Go ahead.
So you felt it?
I felt this experience, yes.
و جالب اینجاست که ایشون بعد از اینکه اینو با اینکه اعتقاد نداشتن انجام دادن واقعا حس کردن که در کف دست خداوند هستند.
So he says to me, it's not the pain you're in that's been killing you. It's the pain you keep thinking you're going to be in 5 minutes.
و به من گفتش که این درد نیستش که تو در اصل داری میکشی. این درد از اینه که تو فکر میکنی 5 دقیقه دیگه درد خواهی داشت.
And so he says, so you've come in to be here right now with me, and now we need to work the tools of the program so that you can stay in this moment. We need to get rid of the past. We need to stop thinking about the future. So we need to work on your defects of character.
و ایشون گفتش که ما قراره که از گذشته و از آینده به وسیله ابزارهای این برنامه رها بشیم و بیایم در لحظه حال و از اون نواقص اخلاقیمون رها بشیم و در لحظه حال قرار بگیریم.
So this journey begins with us going, we go on a 12-step call, and we're going on 12-step calls where we see people who are desperate and the people that are trying to get this thing. And some of them make it and some of them die. Some of them we have to take to the hospital on the way. We see all this alcoholism, and I'm realizing there's this whole world out there. I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy with this journey he's taking me on, but I'm realizing every time we go on these 12-step calls, I'm not thinking about my hallucinations. And I'm not thinking about how I feel. And I'm more and more turning myself over and trusting this man.
و ما از اینجا شروع کردیم که ما میرفتیم برای پیام رسانی و من با ایشون میرفتم برای کسایی که واقعا دنبال این بودن که یه راه حلی برای بیماری الکلیزمشون پیدا میکنن و بعضیاشون پیدا میکردن بعضیاشون میمردن و من هر بار که میرفتم کمتر و کمتر به اون توهمات و هالوسینیشن های خودم میاندیشیدم و کم کم به این آقا اعتماد بیشتری پیدا کردم.
So the hallucinations pass. The hallucinations pass.
و من در نهایت از شر اون توهمات راحت شدم.
My alcoholism doesn't.
ولی الکلیزم من نه.
I'm now a person who's got the same experience of life that everyone else who hasn't done the steps has. I'm very anxious.
Now or before?
At that particular time. I'm just...
بله. و اون موقع بود که من خیلی فقط دلهوره و استراب داشتم. الکولیزم هم هنوز بود ولی دیگه توهم نداشتم.
And I'm full of guilt and shame about what I've done.
و و پر از احساس گناه و شرمساری هستم به خاطر کارهایی که کرده بودم.
And so now begins the romance of recovery.
و کم کم اون رمانتیک های بهبودی شروع شد به اتفاق افتادن.
So I do an inventory. I do an inventory about myself as honestly as I can. I admit those things to this other person. I admit them to somebody. I'm telling them things that I would really rather not ever tell anyone ever. I'm telling them everything. I have no secrets now.
و من یک ترازنامه خیلی صادقانه از خودم نوشتم و تمام اون چیزایی که فکر می‌کردم هیچ وقت به کسی نمیگم همه رو گفتم.
At that time we go to the book. And steps 6 and 7 there's just this little tiny bit about it. There's just a little bit about are you ready? And I was like, man, I am ready. So that was my step 6. And then it says humbly ask him, and so I said, please. Please, I humbly ask that you would take all of me, good and bad. I pray you'll remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me the strength to go out and do your bidding. Amen.
و ما رسیدیم تو کتاب به اون دو تا پاراگرافی که راجع به قدم 6 و 7ه که تو قدم دو تا پاراگراف کوتاه میگه آیا آماده ای؟ و من گفتم آره واقعا من آمادم و بعد میگه فروتنانه از او خواستیم که خوب و بد خود یعنی که این نواقص اخلاقی رو از ما بگیره و من شروع کردم گفتم خدایا خواهش میکنم و من خوب و بدم رو تقدیم تو میدارم با من کن و از من سازان چه خود اراده کنی تا انجام حالا ادامه دعای قدم 7 رو خوندن ایشون نیمه تیکایش رو خوندن الان.
So with great earnestness now I take my fourth step and I turn that into an eighth step list. I'm looking at all the people I put on my fourth step list and I'm making my eighth step list for all the people I've harmed and now more ideas are coming to me. I'm remembering more and more and more things as I make this eighth step list and then I go out and I start making amends to all these people. In the midst of that process... Sorry, go ahead.
و من از قدم 4 اسامی رو در آوردم همه رو بردم تو قدم 8 که برم جبران خسارت بکنم.
In the midst of that process I feel chunks of crap leave, just chunks of horribleness leaving my body as I'm in the middle of making amends to people. I feel this horribleness just leave and I'm feeling light and I'm looking people in the eyes on the sidewalk. I'm looking them right in the eyes and I'm feeling okay about me.
و در وسط اون جبران خسارت ها بودم که من قشنگ احساس میکردم یک عالمه از این سنگینی ها و خستگی ها سیاهی ها داره وجود من میره و من احساس سبکی بیشتری دارم و من میتونستم راه برم توی خیابون و تو چشم آدم ها واقعا نگاه بکنم.
And I begin this process of healing and realizing wow, I'll be able to do this. I'll be able to stay sober. I feel like I'm a real member. And that happened to me in the middle of the ninth step.
و من وسط این قدم 9 بودم که احساس کردم من فکر کنم من میتونم این کارو کنم. من میتونم پاک بمونم. من میتونم واقعا یک عضو AA باشم.
And I began the process of 10, 11, and 12. Those restorative, ongoing processes we do to keep current.
و من شروع کردم به انجام قدم 10 و 11 و 12 که یک سری قدم های نگه دارنده، پیش رونده و حفظ کننده بهبودی ماست که به طور مرتب من روزانه بعد انجام می دادم.
But something happens to me as I wrote a play and in this play there was a beautiful actress and this beautiful actress came up to me and she said I love your play. Are you available? Are you free? And I said, oh, yes. And she said, aren't you with Felicia? And I said, oh, that's been over for a long time now.
So you wrote a real play.
I wrote a play, and one of the actresses in the play asked me out.
Yeah.
But she knew about Felicia, so she was double-checking. And I lied. Man.
و من یک نمایشنامه نوشتم و یک هنرپیشه خیلی زیبایی گفت من از این نمایشنامه که تو نوشتی خوشم میاد و میخوام توش بازی کنم و بعد گفتش که مگه تو با فلیشیا نیستی؟ و منم دروغ گفتم، گفتم نه، اون خیلی وقت دیگه تموم شده.
That was my beginning of understanding that even though I'd go through this process, I've gone through this process, I've felt great healing, I've gotten great rewards, my journey as a recovering person had not ended. I was now not permanently recovered. I had not landed on the recovery floor with my little elevator. I had become aware that I'm still a liar and a cheat, and I still had to have healing going on an ongoing basis.
و من اونجا بود که فهمیدم که با وجود تمام اون شفایی که برای من اتفاق افتاده و دریافتی‌هایی که من از برنامه و از قدم‌ها داشتم، باز هم من همچنان یک دروغگو و یک خیانتکار هستم و من با اون آسانسور کوچیکم نرفتم و توی بهبودی دیگه ساکن بشم برای همیشه. بنابراین من احتیاج به این دارم که به طور مرتب تو این پروسه شفا قرار بگیرم.
So the seventh step says we humbly ask him.
و قدم هفت میگه ما فروتنانه از او خواستیم.
And humbly means to see things as they are. Humility means you see things the way they are.
و فروتنانه یعنی دیدن چیزها همون جوری که هستند.
And what I'm seeing at this particular time in my sobriety is I'm seeing that I'm not 100% okay at all. I've still got lots of work to do. I've still got lots of things that have not been removed from me, and I've got lots of things that are going to make me completely unsuccessful in sobriety.
و من در این مرحله از زندگیم میدونم که یه سری چیزهایی هستش که من توش 100% موفق نبودم و 100% بهبود یا شفا پیدا نکردم و خیلی هنوز جای رشد دارم.
Part of doing the seventh step was the humbly part. Humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. It also says in the prayer that I'm asking that he should have all of me, good and bad. And partly what it's saying is I should also love my life. Good and bad, all of it. Love all, take all of me, and I will work on loving all of this path in front of me. Even if I really want to go with some actress instead of hang out with the woman I love, I need to just love it, and stop. Just like you don't get removed from your alcoholism if you're still drinking. You have to stop the drinking and ask for it to be removed, and not drink, and ask for it to be removed. I have to do work. As part of this step, I'm not just asking things to be removed and then, you know, hoping I get struck by magic. I have to actively change.
و اینی که توی یه قسمتی از این دعای قدم هفت اینه که خوب و بد وجودم رو تقدیم تو می‌دارم و همینطورم من باید خوب و بد خودم رو عاشقانه دوست داشته باشم. یه قسمت از فروتنی معنیش همینه که من خوب و بد وجودم رو بدم به خداوند و خوب و بد وجود خودم و زندگیم رو هم دوست داشته باشم. و همون جوری که من موقعی که وارد برنامه میشم اول من پرهیزم رو شروع بکنم و بعدش مشروب دیگه نمیخورم و بعدش شروع بکنم به خیلی کارها رو به صورت فعالانه انجام دادن، اینجا هم من باید همین کار رو بکنم. ممکنه هنوز هم من به جای اینکه با زنی که عاشقش هستم باشم مثلا با یک هنرپیشه میرفتم بیرون، ولی همچنان باید اون رو هم میپذیرفتم و فروتنانه از خدا درخواست کمک میکردم.
I don't wash my car and expect it to stay clean forever. I don't do
من ماشینم یه بار نمیشورم و بعد انتظار داشته باشم این تا ابد تمیز بمونه.
My father was in perfect shape all the way until when he died when he was 95. But one of the ways he stayed in perfect shape was he did the Air Force exercise manual every single morning of every single day.
پدر من تا 95 سالگی که زندگی کردن و فوت شدن توی بهترین حالت بود. ولی یکی از دلایلش این بود که هر روز صبح اون تمرین‌های ورزشی نیروی هوایی رو انجام میداد هر روز صبح.
the Air Force manual is perfect for keeping people physically fit, but you have to do it every day. The big book is perfect tool for keeping us spiritually fit, but we have to do it every day. That's how we end up in perfect shape.
و اون راهکار ورزش‌های نیروی هوایی بسیار عالیه برای اینکه شما رو فیت و تندرست نگه داره، ولی به شرط اینکه هر روز انجام بدید. کتاب بزرگ هم بسیار عالیه برای اینکه ما رو از لحاظ روحانی تندرست و سلامت نگه داره، به شرط اینکه هر روز انجامش بدیم.
So it says I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. So
و بعد ما میگیم ما دعا خدایا دعا میکنیم که همه اون نواقص اخلاقی ما رو که میاد و سد راه مؤثر بودن من به درد بخور بودن من برای تو خداوند و انسانها میشه از من بگیر.
So that's good. So I surrender my defects. Good, good, good. But now I need to not practice them. So just like I surrender alcohol, I now have to not drink it too.
و من اونجا اومدم و این نواقصم رو تسلیم خداوند کردم، ولی در نهایت باید یه سری تمریناتی هم بکنم، همون جوری که وقتی من مشروب رو تسلیم کردم بعدش هم دیگه نرفتم بخورم.
Okay, so opposites are what we're looking for. Dr. Bill Wilson said that the principles of the program were the opposites of our defects. So that what we're supposed to be working towards is what's the opposite of this. Now, one of my characteristics is I was very needy. I was a very needy person, and I would try to get attention from everybody. I wanted attention, very self-centered, and I wanted attention from everybody. So that neediness was one of my defects.
و بنابراین اون چیزی که حالا تو کتاب اومده اینه که ما تمرین میکنیم اون مخالف اون نواقص اخلاقیمون رو که همون اصول برنامه هست که باید تمرین کنیم. یکی از نواقص من این بود که من خیلی محتاج بودم به اینی که دیده بشم، مورد توجه قرار بگیرم، یه جورایی آویزون بودم و خیلی خودمحور بودم. We have to wrap it up as well.
Oh, okay. How much more time? I have a minute or 2 minutes?
Yeah, in 1 and 2 minutes, it's fine.
Okay, so my sponsor, Peter, I would come to him very needy and want attention and ask him all kinds of things, and he would say, okay, just a minute, though. Go out and make 3 people smile. You need to go make 3 people smile and feed 3 parking meters, and then come back and talk to me.
Feed 3 parking?
Three parking meters. Put money in those meters for other people.
Okay. و من میرفتم خیلی حالت محتاج و وابسته و اینا پیش راهنما، و راهنما بهم گفت خب حالا برو الان بیرون 3 تا آدم رو بخندون و بعد برای 3 نفر پول پارکینگ رو بنداز توی اون دستگاه پارکینگ و برگرد.
And I would come back to him and be needy again, and he would send me out again to make 3 people smile and to feed 3 more parking meters.
و بعد دوباره میومدم و همون جوری آویزون رو محتاج توجه بودم و منو میفرستاد دوباره 3 نفر رو بخندونم و 3 تا پول پارکینگ برای آدم رو بدم.
Eventually I stopped being so needy with Peter. I ran out of gas. I just wanted to sit with him and play cribbage.
Play what?
Cribbage, cards, yeah.
و در نهایت من دیگه خسته شدم و تصمیم گرفتم دیگه اینقدر محتاج آویزون نباشم که من هی بفرسته و بیام بشینم واقعا باش کارت بازی کنم.
The character defect of being neediness that starts to leave if what I'm doing is I'm working givingness. And by working givingness it takes away my neediness, and so is true for all the other defects of character. You look for their opposite and you practice your affairs along those lines. As you ask God to remove your defects, you then practice the opposite of those defects.
و همونجوری که اون بخشش و دادن توجه و به دیگران به من کمک کرد که من کم کم اون نقص اخلاقی فقط گیرنده بودن و توجه گرفتن و آویزون بودن رو از دست بدم، همین جور برای تمام نواقص اخلاقی دیگه، همون جوری که ما دعا میکنیم اون متضادش رو هم با تمام توانایی که داریم انجام میدیم و تمرین میکنیم.
Okay. So the only way to coach is downhill.
بله، الان تموم میشه. So what was the last sentence?
The only way to coast is downhill. Instead, I need to say current and constant.
بله، و تنها راه رسیدن به کنار دریا سرپایینیه و من باید دائم به روز و در لحظه باشم.
So that's my car. Car, C-A-R. Consistent, accountable, responsible. Car.
و اینی که من این سه تا کلمه ای که من میگم به اسم کار، یعنی من به تداوم داشته باشم، پشت کار داشته باشم، مسئولیت پذیر باشم. And what was the R?
Responsible.
و مسئول باشم. پاسخگو باشم و مسئول باشم.
Okay.
So thank you very much. If you're finished.
Okay. I could talk for another hour, but I'll stop.
Thank you so much. It was so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.